Want you to open your Bibles with us, please, in the book of Joshua, chapter 22. The 22nd chapter of the book of Joshua. And read some verses from verse number 21. Joshua, chapter 22, verse 21. Follow us in the reading of God's precious and God's holy word together. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? And the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him, with our burnt offerings, and with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we that it shall be when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas, the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord, now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, and from the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. And we end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse number 31 of this 22nd chapter, and I want us to base our thoughts this morning upon a little line that's contained in that verse 31 of Joshua chapter 22. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us. And I want you to think of those words very simply this morning. The words that Phinehas said, he said, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us. You know, I believe that that would be the most wonderful thing, that of every time the children of God met together, that that could always be said, that the presence of the Lord, that the Lord is among us. Because I believe that the most precious and the most important experience and the most blessed experience for the children of God as they meet in God's house is the experience of meeting in the very presence of God. That every time that we come to worship, every day of our lives as we live the Christian life, that we are enjoying the presence, the very presence of the Lord Himself mightily with us, and the power of God mightily upon us. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, and when He was writing there and recording in the Scriptures the Holy Ghost, in John chapter 15 it says, "For without Me ye can do nothing." And friends, this morning as we gather in God's house, it is the presence of the Lord that we need. And we need to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. As Moses contemplated going into the land of promise, Moses said in Exodus chapter 33 these words, "If Thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." He did not want to go except the Lord was indeed going with him. It is God's presence that makes the difference between the life of the sinner and the life of the life of the Christian. It is the presence of the Lord and the very power of the Spirit of God in our lives. It is the presence of the Lord, it is the power of the Spirit of God that equips the church for service. Because without the presence of God, without the power of God, without the Spirit of God, then you and I haven't got the power to witness as we ought to witness. And we cannot see a work done that will glorify or magnify His precious and His holy name. And I believe this morning as we come now to study this passage of God's Word, this day we perceive that the Spirit, or that the Lord is among us, that God is here in our very presence, that we are in the presence of the Lord this morning, because we need His presence and we need His power, and we ought to cry out, "Oh God, come by Thy Spirit and visit us afresh," because without Him we can do nothing. Then I say this, no matter what wealth or what talent or human efforts that you have or I have, without the Lord's presence, then there is no substitute, and there can be no substitute for the very power and for the very anointing of the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord in our midst today. You turn to the book of Judges. We have the sad story of a man. I think it's one of the saddest stories recorded in the book of Judges, chapter 16. And we have the story of a man called Samson. And you know, we think of Samson, we think of his might, we think of his strength, we think of his power, we think of the mighty victories that Samson experienced in his life. But I'll tell you, there was a secret of his strength. It was the power of God. It was the presence of the Lord. And in the 16th chapter of the book of Judges, if you go to verse 20, it says this, "And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times before, and I will shake myself." And then mark these words, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And here's a sad story, because here we have a child of God. And the child of God's head is in the lap of an evil, a sinful, immoral woman, Delilah. And she cries out to Samson. She says to Samson, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And Samson immediately, when he heard the Philistines, he jumped up immediately. And my, he said, "I will go out as I've gone out in every other occasion." And he shook himself as he did in the past. But he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Friend, what an awful tragedy whenever there is a departure of the presence of the Lord, where God leaves and we do not experience the presence of the Lord in a very mighty and very powerful way. We were reading over in the Bible class this morning the story of Ezekiel. And we were thinking about Ezekiel, the man that God called and God commissioned to go at a time whenever Israel was in bondage. And he said at the age of 30, he said on that very day, he said, I was sitting at the river of Kibar. And he said, I had the heavens opened, and he had a vision of the Lord. And God said to him, he said, you know, God revealed himself, and Ezekiel fell on his face before God. And as he fell on his face before God, and then God desired him to get up because he was broken before God. He was surrendered to God, and God says, stand upon your feet. And he tried to stand, but he couldn't do it. But he said the Spirit of the Lord entered into him. And friend, when the Spirit of the Lord entered into him and the power of God and the presence of God came upon his life, I'll tell you this, he stood upon his feet. And he said, I heard him. Before that, he said, I heard a voice. But whenever the Spirit of God came upon him, and he knew he was in the very presence of God, and God opened the windows of heaven, God revealed himself. He said, I heard him. And God used Ezekiel to serve him in a very mighty and a very wonderful way. The presence of the Lord. You know, it is possible for you and I to gather in God's house today and not experience the presence of the Lord. That our hearts would be out of tune with him. It's very possible it can come like when God was writing to Ezekiel and revealing himself to Ezekiel. He said, I send you to a rebellious people, and their hearts were hard against the Lord. And friend, we could miss the presence of the Lord. We are in God's house this morning. But oh, that you and I would be conscious of the Lord's presence. Oh, that we would not grieve the Lord. Turn in the book of Ezekiel to chapter 10 for a moment. 10th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 10, or chapters 10 and chapter 11, it tells the story of the renewal of the power of God. The renewal of the power of God. Step by step, the Lord. Or rather, the removal of the presence of the Lord. Not the renewal, the removal. In chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the book of Ezekiel, friend, we see the Lord just step by step, the glory of the Lord removed from the land. Chapter 10, verse 4, it says, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. Now mark that. The glory of the Lord went up and stood. See, what's in that, preacher? Go to chapter 11 and come to verse 24, and it says this, afterward the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision. The Spirit of God in Chaldee to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen and went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity, all the things that the Lord had showed me. Verse 23. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. And I said in chapter 10 and chapter 11 of Ezekiel, friend, you'll find that step by step the glory of the Lord's removed from the land of Judah. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord went up and stood. It was as if that God was reluctant to go. That the presence of the Lord was reluctant to go. And the Bible says he goes up and he stands.
And it's as if he's saying here, according in God's word, he's standing because he's waiting to see if anybody cares. If anybody cares that he's withdrawing from them. If anyone's going to cry out and say, oh God, please don't go. Oh God, don't leave us. Oh God, don't take your glory from us. Oh God, don't take your presence from us. The sad reality was this, friend. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. You know, friend, that can happen to the professing church of Jesus Christ today. The Spirit of God can be grieved. You can grieve the Spirit. And when God, the Holy Ghost, is grieved, friend, listen, let me tell you, that God can leave. The glory of the Lord can leave. Would anybody care? You know, the church can have its programs then. The church can continue to have its plans. The church can have all its personnel. The church can have all its possessions. But they don't recognize as the Spirit that the Spirit Himself is withdrawn. And it says, and the glory of the Lord went up. And the Spirit of God stood. Will anybody care? Will anybody care that the Spirit of God can be grieved? And what I want us to notice this morning is this, how much we need the presence of the Lord. Listen, it is the Lord's presence that makes the feast. We read this morning in the book of the Psalms, it is in thy presence that there is the fullness of joy. It is at thy right hand that there are the pleasures forevermore. When the children of Israel were going out of Egypt and making their way through the wilderness to the promised land, the Lord went before them, friend. The presence of the Lord in the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fiery cloud went before them. And the Lord's presence. And they were encouraged every step that the Lord was there. Oh God, don't take your presence from us. Don't let your people grieve you, Lord, that you will... The glory of the Lord is departed from them. And friend, let me tell you, that can happen because you remember when the ark of God was taken. You remember whenever the old man Eli, he was there and he was wondering what was happening in the battle. And you remember whenever his daughter-in-law gave birth to a little child, she called the child Ichabod. Why? Because the glory of the Lord had departed. Oh, that we might be conscious, friend. Listen, it's the presence of the Lord that makes our worship today. It's God's presence. It's the Lord's presence. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Solomon had built a beautiful temple, friend. Ah, it was so beautiful. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshipped and they praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. What made the difference, Ram? What made this a special house? It was the glory of the Lord's presence. You remember that story in the scriptures in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel? Where the man was on the bed and he was carried by four men and they took him to the house, and the house was so filled they couldn't get him in, and they had to take out off the roof and let him down. What did it say? It was noised abroad that the Lord was in the house. Friend, I want to tell you this morning. God has given us a beautiful building here, but if that's all we have, then it might as well fall. Because we want it noised abroad that the Lord is in the house. It's the Lord's presence that makes a difference. And so whenever we read in the scriptures that the Lord, the glory of the Lord rose up and the glory of the Lord stood, would we care that the glory of the Lord left this house? For I tell you, if God were to do that, then we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. And that's not all that matters. All that matters is that God is here. All that counts is the Lord's presence, that the Lord is amongst his people. And whenever Phinehas came to the 2.5 tribes there on the eastern side of the Jordan, and my, there was a misunderstanding, and we'll come to that just in a moment, and we'll tell you how that the misunderstanding can take place. But the misunderstanding took place. But whenever Phinehas and the princes came to Gad and to Reuben and to Manasseh, said, "We perceive that the Lord, we perceive that the Lord is in the midst." And friend, that mood removed all the misunderstanding. That's what took away all the misunderstanding. Because God was there. God was a reality in the place. Let me paint you two pictures. Go back to Joshua chapter 22, and this is a story. In Joshua chapter 22, friend, we find that Phinehas came to this, to the eastern side of the Jordan. And you know, whenever he came, it says in verse 31, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." Now, this was a time when there was nothing extraordinary happening. There was no thunderings, there was no lightnings, as it happened on the Mount Sinai. There was nothing that the world could see happening that was extraordinary. But there was something wonderful that did happen that made the servant of God, Phinehas, know the Lord's here. The Lord's here. Here's the two pictures. First of all, there were 12 tribes of Israel. Whenever God's servant was dividing out the land, we find that Gad and Manasseh, half the tribe of Manasseh and Reuben, they wanted to live on the eastern side of the Jordan. The 9.5 tribes, they would be divided out the land on the western side. And so it would have been easy for them to have gone and comforted and rested down on the eastern side of the Jordan. But God said, "No, you cannot go, because you're going with your brethren. The men of war have got to go and fight the battle in the land of Canaan for the rest of the tribes." In other words, God's people have to stand together. And they were facing an enemy, and as they were facing an enemy, they stood together. And so whilst the men would have loved to have settled down with their wives and their families on the eastern side of Jordan, God says, "No, you've got to go with them and accompany your brethren and fight the battle. And after the battle's over, then you can go home again." And when you come to chapter 22, the battle's over.
And the 2.5 tribes of Israel, they're making their way back to the eastern side of the Jordan. And as they make their way back to the eastern side, every step they take, the distance between the majority of Israel and these 2.5 tribes, it's getting greater. And they're about to come to the Jordan. And as they reach the Jordan, friend, they can see across the Jordan and they can see home and they can see their wives and they can see their children. And they're so happy that God has now brought them back to their inheritance. But then something happened. Whenever they came to the Jordan, they looked at it. And as they looked at the Jordan, they realized the Jordan was separating them between their brethren. There was a separation that was between their brethren. And then there was a fear came upon the men of Gad and of Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh. And as they looked at the Jordan, they realized there was a division amongst them. And as they saw this division, a fear came into their hearts. And this was the fear. They were afraid that whenever they would go over the Jordan to the eastern side and they would live there and be apart from their brethren, that the main part of Israel would not recognize them as the Lord's children anymore. In actual fact, they feared that the day would come that their children, whenever they would go to Shiloh to worship God and to come and to worship at the tabernacle in Shiloh, that they would be turned back and say, but you have no part among us. And that they wouldn't recognize them and they would be cut off when they were afraid that their children would be left to become heathens without the tabernacle worship. And so to remind themselves of the tabernacle and the worship of God, and that they were a part of the family of God, they built an altar. It was to be an altar of witness. And the witness of this altar, and they called it Ed, it was a witness that they too belonged to the true family of God. That they too were of the family of Israel, the children of God. But I want to picture a second picture. The message got back to the 9.5 tribes about the altar being built. And whenever the message got back that this altar was being built there on the other side of Jordan, they cried out, what does it mean? And immediately the thought went into their minds, they have apostatized. They have left their worship of God. They don't want to be a part of among us. They want to be independent from us. And they built their own altar. And they've fallen into idolatry. And they're going to bring the judgment of God upon us as our fathers did in their day. And we were brought into bondage into the land of Egypt. And they'll bring the wrath of God upon us. So you know what happened? The 9.5 tribe says, we have got to go and we have got to go against them. We have got to pull down their altar. We have got to destroy them. And so immediately they rose up to march upon their brethren. Not march upon their enemy, to march upon their brethren. And let me say something, friends, simply about that. Their intention was good, but their perception was wrong. Their intention was good. You see, the 9.5 tribes thought this was the 2.5 tribes trying to separate from them and trying to deny that they're a part of the family of God. It was the very opposite in effect. They were wanting to remain true to God. They were wanting their children to remember, you are a part of the family of God.
and they raised the altar, but the altar wasn't an altar for burnt sacrifices. It wasn't something to take the place of the altar of Shiloh. It was to be a witness that the only way to God was through the sacrifice and through the presence of the Lord and being a part of a family of God. You see the misunderstanding? And friends, let me tell you, it nearly destroyed Israel. The 9.5 tribes were going to march upon their brethren that used to march with them, because they perceived. But their perception was wrong. And the judgment of God nearly fell. But thank God there was wisdom here. Because what happened was this. They said, Phinehas, I want you to take a prince. And I want you to go with a princess. And I want you to go to see what is happening, instead of what we perceive was happening. And so Phinehas, verse 30, and when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words which the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And that's where verse 31 comes in. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us. And you know, Phinehas realized that God had done a great thing that day. Because he had kept the 2.5 tribes from apostasy. And God had kept the 9.5 tribes from the folly of falling on their brethren and causing a division in the nation that never would have been healed. And he said, the presence of the Lord's here. I perceive this day that the Lord is among us. See, when I read that, friend, I said, Lord, that's the only thing that counts. That you're here. I don't care about anything else. Please, God, don't go. Stay with your people, Lord. Oh, God, come. Instead of your people grieving you, oh God, I pray that there might be the spirit of intercession, that there might be the spirit of brokenness, that we cry out unto God and we say, oh God, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, keep us and keep us in the center of thy will and keep us, oh God, within, in the very center of your power and in the center of your presence. Oh God, don't leave your children. And you see, whenever God's presence is amongst his people, friend, there are certain things that God will do. The Lord Jesus will be exalted. You see, Phinehas was impressed here. Do you know what impressed him? He was impressed with the altar of witness. That this was an altar of witness. It was called Ed. It pointed to the other altar at Shiloh. It pointed to the centrality of the altar of the burnt sacrifice in the life of all Israel. And instead of Israel apostatizing, they were remembering that this was the only way into God's presence. It was through the sacrifice. And let me tell you, my friend, the only way that you and I can approach God this morning is through the sacrifice of the cross and through the blood of the Lamb. Never let us forget that you and I are nothing of ourselves. We owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should desire to witness this morning here in God's house that the Lord is our strength, that the Lord is our salvation, that the Lord is the only one that counts in this place. It's the Lord's presence that makes the feast. And the Holy Spirit of God glorifies the person and glorifies the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 16. And in that great chapter where it tells us about the Spirit, you notice the Spirit of God glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 13, chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And then it says, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit of God will reveal unto us Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God, when the Lord is in the midst of his people, friend, he'll exalt the person of Jesus Christ. He'll exalt the work of Jesus Christ. He will glorify the work of Christ upon the cross. You think of the second chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and many people think about what happened on the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you, friend, you look at the message of the day of Pentecost. It spoke about the person and the work of Christ. And then the power failed. And when Christ is honored, when the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified and honored in his person and in his work, then the presence of the Lord will be evidenced. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I realize at times away this morning. But whenever Christ is exalted, then the presence of the Lord will be evidenced. Let's exalt the Lord Jesus today. Let's uplift the Savior. That men and women might be put into the background. That preacher and people will be put into the background. Let's uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. I will glory. I will glory in the cross. Oh, that men and women will start talking about Jesus. Oh, that men and women will be so captivated with their love for Jesus Christ that he'll be the center of our conversations. That when men and women come to us, we'll want to talk to them about our Savior, our wonderful Lord, and what he has done for us. The person of Christ, the work of Christ, the passion of Christ. Because I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The presence of the Lord will be evidenced when Christ is uplifted. I perceive this day, says Phidias. I perceive this day. Oh, that men and women may perceive today the Lord's here. We're in God's presence. Forget about the pews and the decorations and the lights and chandeliers. Forget about it. They don't count. Listen, we're in God's presence. A few moments' time, God's children will gather around that table. And the Lord Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. And he says, do it until I come. The presence of the Lord will be evidenced when the person and the work of Christ is exalted. The presence of God will also keep his people pure. Friend, pure in doctrine. In John 16, verse 3, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll keep you pure in doctrine. That's my earnest prayer. Oh God, keep us pure in doctrine. Don't ever let us get away from your word. Let us never leave the mooring of thy precious word. Friend, listen, we could have their places today, and they're set apart, and people are gathering today, and they've forgotten the word of God. The word of God is just a wee thing to be shoved, and they spend their time singing and all the rest of it, and the word of God's never preached. But I believe the presence of the Lord will keep his people pure. Pure in doctrine. But also pure in practice. If you and I walk in the presence of the Lord, friend, if you and I are conscious that we're in the Lord's presence, let me tell you, it'll keep us from sin. Thou, God, seest me. Every day. Every moment of every day, friend, no matter where I go, no matter where I'm standing, no matter what place I'm in, listen, thou, God, seest me. Thou knowest me altogether. And I'll tell you, if we're conscious of the presence of the Lord and you and I are conscious that God is watching us and that God sees us, I believe it'll keep us pure in practice. Lest we grieve him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship the one with the other. Did you come this morning to meet with God? Or did you come to see somebody else? Let me tell you, friend, we have fellowship the one with the other. Fellowship with God. And that's what counts. That's what counts here this morning as we meet in God's presence. If we had time, we could have said that in his presence is a searching presence to convict. It's a saving presence to convert. It's a separating presence to consecrate. It's a settling presence to calm. It's a satisfying presence to console. This I close. I was reading 1 Samuel chapter 4. And as I read in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and I read in verse 21, 22, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. Because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory of the Lord is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Let me tell you, friend, death had come to her house. But even something far worse, that God's glory has left and departed from Israel. May God help us to desire his presence today. Let's pray. O God, as we bow in thy holy presence, make us all conscious that we are before thee. A God who sees us all. And a God who knows us all. There is nothing, O God, in me that thou doesn't know. For thou dost know me altogether. And O God, this morning I claim afresh the precious blood. O God, I pray in Jesus' precious name, restore unto your people the joy of their salvation. Help us never to grieve thee. And O God, leave us not. We cry unto thee, O God, for thy presence. For it makes the feast. Speak to every one of our hearts as our heads are bowed before the Lord this morning. Just before you leave your seat this morning, I trust you've said, God, please speak to me. Help me not to grieve thee. Cry, O God, please don't leave your people. But may the glory of God rest upon us. And may the glory of the Lord fill the house. For Jesus' sake.